Hi, this is Tyson Brown with NSTA Press. This marks our ninth installment of NSTA Press Behind the Books. Today I'm talking with Juliana Texley, the author of Story of Science Classroom Companion, Einstein Adds a New Dimension, a book in which students travel in time to a Swiss patent office where they can look over Albert Einstein's shoulder as he develops a new kind of science that will lead to particle physics, quantum mechanics, and relativity. Juliana, welcome.
Thanks. It's nice to talk to you, Tyson.
Juliana, tell me a little bit about this companion. What does it support, and who is its audience?
Well, first, I probably should tell people who are listening just a bit about Joy Hackam's Einstein Adds a New Dimension. It's really an amazing book. When I talk to people, I call it an oxymoron, extremely readable nuclear physics. And they kind of laugh, but it really is. I've been teaching this material for decades, and I have never understood it as well or enjoyed reading it as much as in this book. The companion book is meant to help teachers of science integrate science with the language arts and social studies in the book.
When did you become aware of Joy's work?
Well, I've known about her social studies book, The History of the U.S., which is really a classic, one of the best books out there for a long time. And about 3 years ago, I began looking at her Story of Science books, which began with the development of astronomy, really, in Greek times and in ancient times, and have traced the development of science with an emphasis on the methods of science. This third book had to have been extremely difficult to write. I know that Joy used the physics department at MIT as a fact-check organization, and she tells me how difficult it was. And yet it's really a delight to read. Every experienced teacher that I've given this book to has been amazed at how much fun it is and how really, really detailed it is.
Why do you think Joy's approach in her books is so timely?
Well, I really think there's very little understanding of the methods of modern physics, even among people who have graduated with degrees in integrated science. I was just reading today in the Boston Globe online that the Large Hadron Collider is opening at CERN in Switzerland. It's the new European collider. And there are a significant number of people who believe that when they start this collider, we will form a black hole, and the whole planet will just get sucked into it. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't tell you about black holes, really, although there's a lot in the book. But the idea that people have no idea what's going on in nuclear physics means that there's a significant gap in our understanding, and I think it's a topic that really deserves treatment. Most high school textbooks, they just stop right there because the belief is that you can't teach it without an awful lot of math, and Joy has almost no math in this book. That's what's so amazing.
What significant features does your book offer to the reader?
Well, for every chapter, there are over 40, the teacher will find a little bit more content explanation. They will find links to help them extend their knowledge. They'll find at least one demonstration or investigation or kinesthetic activity, something hands-on that the students can do. And that's a challenge because most textbooks will say, well, you can't do any hands-on nuclear physics. Well, there are a lot of things you can do. A lot of it's modeling. And also, we've used science objects from NSTA, applets, and other animations from the Internet so that the teacher has at their fingertips an awful lot of material to enrich the literature. Ideally, this program would be used in a situation where the teacher was integrating and working hand-in-hand with a science and language arts and a social studies teacher in a block so that the science teacher could use the companion as the main guide for teaching but would always be integrated with the language arts and social studies.
I remember one of the activities in the book demonstrated fission. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, chain reaction. Chain reaction. And it was a kinesthetic activity.
Right.
I have done it with 5th and 6th graders. I've done it with 8th and 9th graders, which I think is probably a good target level for this book. But I've also done it with community college age students, and they've said, oh my goodness, I never understood this before. Now I understand it. Mm-hmm. When the news, here's another current event. When the news talks about, is Iran enriching uranium? A lot of people go, yeah, well, what does that mean? What's the difference between uranium and enriched uranium? Mm-hmm. This activity where you take the glass out on the sidewalk or the blacktop can illustrate the difference between uranium ore and enriched uranium.
What I like about pairing these two books together is with Joy's book, you really get the human side of how science works. And with the activities that you're offering to pair with that book, you're getting students involved in exploring the science concepts in a hands-on way.
I think that's really important. The human side, which Joy is so wonderful at, captures new people. This is just an anecdote, but my husband's a history major, and one night I was having a terrible time trying to think of an activity or an extension for a specific chapter. He pulled out a movie called Fat Man and Little Boy, which has Paul Newman in it and a number of other stars, and it shows the dynamics of the people as they were working on this project. And it totally refreshed my thinking about the whole topic. And I thought, you know, there's no reason why there's a bright line between physics and social studies at this point. I think the human side of it is really going to attract more students. There are many districts and many states, like my own home state of Michigan, where they're requiring all students to have a year of physics in high school. Well, it's going to be hard to attract some of these students who really are social learners or tend to the artistic or the musical without some kind of human dimension.
Hearing that story about the Manhattan Project reminds me of the collaborative process that goes into understanding science. I mean, there were thousands of scientists and researchers and technicians involved in this project, most of them not knowing what it was about.
There's also a tremendous ethical issue involved, and the scientists show some real concern for the ethics of the bomb development. There is a nice treatment of that in this book, which the teacher can choose to pursue depending on the maturity level of the students who are involved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. If the students are mature enough to have a discussion about this, either in the science class or in the social studies class, the material is there, the background is there, and the book does not take any specific political position.
How easy is it for a social studies teacher and a science teacher to work together on that sort of arrangement in a block schedule?
Well, you just said in a block schedule, and it isn't easy because the publishing houses normally have separate divisions for science, social studies, language arts. They don't provide coordinated materials at all. If you can't even find them if you go into NSTA's Mass Exhibit Hall. And the scheduling software, which drives school districts these days, makes it really, really hard for anything above, say, 8th or 9th grade to have integrated block schedules. Now, what I mean by that is the same group of students having the same language arts teacher, the same social studies teacher, and the same science teacher. It's possible. And if the administrator considers it a priority, it can be done. But in high schools, it's very, very difficult to do. You need to create common prep periods, and you need to give the teachers planning time so they can coordinate these things.
If you aren't able to overcome that hurdle, and you're stuck with the scheduling software that you have, what are ways teachers could still integrate these things?
Well, you can do it if the teachers take the time to meet. And because this material is meant, the material NSTA is producing, is meant to be very convenient, if a faculty decided to do it, they could easily do it because one of our guidelines is make this as convenient as possible for students. Put all the links for the animations right in there. Give them their questions and give the teachers the answers, at least some of the answers, a guideline. It's not easy if the administrator isn't supportive and isn't giving common planning time, but it can be done.
Did you place yourself in the shoes of a teacher or a student when pulling the materials together?
Actually, both. I kept flipping back between the student pages and the teacher pages. I think that as a teacher, I really wanted to understand more about the methods, how these scientists work. It's very different than the research that I was involved in. And you mentioned teams. Physics is always a team sport, modern physics. where I was a researcher in biology and environmental science, and a lot of times you can do that in a very small group or independently, but you don't do nuclear physics independently. As a student, I wanted to think about where the misconceptions might be, what kinds of things were in the standard 6th or 8th grade textbook that might make it even harder to learn this material, because there are some errors in these textbooks. So I did dig in some of the textbooks and find some errors and try to clarify some misconceptions so that teachers and students would be aware.
Why do you think that there is the need for this sort of companion?
Well, first of all, there is a strong, strong emphasis on teaching informational reading in our schools. It's No Child Left Behind, and it's the recognition that in this modern competitive world, being able to read informational text is absolutely crucial. And this is an ideal informational text because it is not only technical, but it's funny and readable. I don't mean that there are comics all through it, but it's written in a light enough way that a person who likes to read will enjoy reading it. So that means that teachers could fall into the trap of just teaching reading here. Well, we don't want to do that. So this book allows for the hands-on and the investigative side. In science literacy, which is often confused with language arts literacy, we consider science literacy a big umbrella of skills. Language arts literacy is one element under that umbrella. Hopefully, this companion will expand the forms of literacy to include inquiry, mathematical analysis, and not high math. I'm talking about graphs and charts and data, and the other inquiry skills that go under that umbrella.
Juliana, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me today. For more information about Story of Science Classroom Companion, Einstein Adds a New Dimension, including a sample chapter entitled The Fission Vision, which is a sample chapter that teachers could show to their administrator as an example of some of the content that is available both in the reader and in the companion. For that sample chapter, go to www.nsda.org and click on the Science Store. This is Tyson Brown signing off from NSTA Press.